All right, the Agile Revolution. It's Craig and Renee and Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy.
Welcome back, Jeremy.
When were you last on in Sydney? Like episode
year and a bit ago.
Yeah, anyway, so Jeremy Benazza is here with us because Jeremy and I have been through the Agile coaching course with two people I'm so glad to have here in Woo-hoo! Down Under in Australia.
Yeah.
Lisa Radkins and Michael Spade. How are you doing?
Oh, thrilled to be here.
Yeah, very nice to be here, Craig. Renee, thank you for having us.
We have been enjoying Australia. This is our third
city. How do you Australia? You're getting it down pat.
I'm starting to get there. Now, in one of our classes, they taught us you say it Australia. Just Australia. But Australia. I didn't buy that one. I didn't buy it.
Australia. Michael is better.
He's getting it, yeah?
I just... Yeah.
G'day,
Renee.
G'day, mate. We're on the Agile G'day, Revolution.
right.
Right, yeah.
So we brought you down here for Yao, and I've been following you guys around like a lost child for a couple of years now on the circuit, and said I'd get you down here one day, and I have.
Yay, Greg.
So great to have you down here.
Yeah.
So you've been running the Agile Coaching course. For those who aren't aware about you guys and the Agile Coaching Institute, just tell us a little bit about that.
So we love Agile coaching. We love Agile. And we think that Agile is the most awesome thing ever, and it's a huge transformative force on the planet, and it gets kind of stuck sometimes because we don't have people that are practitioners, Agile coaches, iteration managers, Scrum Masters, who have the skills to really help people change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Agile Coaching Institute is all about, is bringing those skills to that group of people.
It's really connecting up, you know, Agile is like a evolutionary response to dealing with complexity, and it's a more sophisticated way for, you know, all of us to deal with the realities of modern living, and there's some, you know, resistance in a, you know, us connecting our body minds to that, you know, new mindset, because it's hard, then there's, you know, difficulty for all of us in one level or another, and we're trying to bring tools that from outside disciplines that we think will help all of us make the transition to that.
So you're both now professional accredited professional coaches. You come, Michael, from a psychology background as well as professional coaching background.
Yeah, psychology and organizational development, organizational behavior. I mean, I've certainly studied individuals a lot, but I've studied systems and organizational aspects of the psychology kind of things for a long time. And that's what I'm really most passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that we know more Lisa for her book, for your book.
Yeah, for the Coaching Agile Teams book,
I searched my house high and low.
Where's it gone?
Where's it gone?
How do we do when we get an electronic version?
Well, all of the real people come to me with their Kindle and they're saying, I wish I could have you sign this.
They've got to innovate that at some point.
I mean, yeah, of course they do, because, you know, they have that little square thing where you can zip your card now and sign on people's iPhones. So surely we're going to have electronic signature for books soon.
That's it.
I know that we talked about the book on the podcast like years ago when I read it, and I remember at the time saying that it felt like you got inside my head and exactly articulated what it's like to be a coach. Yeah. So well done.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was hoping would happen. And I'm hoping that it's for people who are ready for it, like you were. You're like, oh my God, thank you. This is exactly what this is exactly my struggle. And for other people who aren't quite ready to make that move from command and controlism to embracing change and working, as Michael said, with the complexity that's here, it repels them. And that's awesome, because that's just as good as attracting someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because it repels them, and then they go, oh. And for a lot of them, it kind of like, it's like a little thorn. It keeps bothering them, and it's just under the surface a little bit. And then a few years later, like, they'll be like,
they'll come out of denial.
Oh, yeah, I can use this book now, you know, so.
That's how our marketing works for the work that we do. We don't market anything. We don't advertise, and or sell anybody. We wait till, you know, there's
ready.
Traction.
Wait till
yeah,
ready.
And they have a
yeah.
they have a real interest, and we often need to hear from them several times
yeah.
before we come, you know, like with
like
Australia.
Mm. I mean, we've been asked to by individuals to come to Australia for probably the last 4 years now. And we kept saying to people, when you have Agile coaching communities in those cities who can help you carry forward your learning after we're gone, then we'll come.
Mm.
And so we waited a long time. And then it was so in Melbourne, for example, we spoke at the Coaches Circle meetup. That's totally a community that can carry forward what they learn in the class. Mm. And so we
yep.
were waiting for that.
Yep.
I guess you need that too, right? Because it can be a very lonely job being a coach sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Particularly one of the things that you guys said in your class that you guys always have this profound effect on me that I go away like a day later and wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh, God.
Yeah.
and in this class, it was, I think it was you, Michael, you said, you've got to have backbone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and it's something I knew, but
yeah.
it's just resonated with me that
yeah.
maybe that's what I'd left behind
yeah.
is very early on. It was like, you know, get in there and maybe I've just been a bit too light lately.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you need to have that community to go back to go, hey, I've done this. Am I being too hard? Am I?
Yeah.
Am I alone?
Mm. Yeah, am I alone?
It seems to me that you're almost always on a balance beam, right? Mm-hmm. How much should you push versus
it
not?
It is. Gosh, it's such a hard decision in every single moment.
Yes.
Which way am I going to go? What's going to be most useful here? You know, what am I even equipped to do, given my own emotional state or my own level of maturity? It's
yep.
just, it's a lot of factors going on at every given moment.
And I think what your book came out at the right time, particularly for me. I mean, I was very early on in the Agile journey, but didn't really know what to call what I was doing. I'd
mm-hmm.
heard this term, Agile coach, and
mm-hmm.
I think you guys have put that legitimacy around that
mm-hmm.
role, because there's nothing really else. I mean, there's a couple other books in the space, but
mm-hmm.
Not only through the book, but also through what you guys
yeah.
are doing
yeah.
with
yeah,
the whole
yeah.
institute and,
yeah.
And everything
yeah.
that sort of follows on from that.
We are absolutely on a mission. And that mission is to raise the level of Agile coaching, because Lord knows we need it. I mean, not only for our organizations, but as Michael said earlier, Agile is a response to a more complex environment.
Mm.
It's like, think about what your parents were like in their work life. My work life freaks my parents out. Totally freaks them out, because I don't have quote unquote a stable job. I travel around the world, you know. I pay for my own medical benefits. I know you don't have to worry about that in Australia, but in the US we do. So I mean,
you really
like,
do. Yeah. You don't want to go to a public hospital here.
Nah.
Okay, so forget that. So I'm glad you're setting me straight.
He's like an Obamacare. I mean, is that how it works?
Yeah. Well, eventually it will. Eventually it will work.
There's a project that didn't have some good Agile coaching.
Yeah. Oh my God, you can't use Agile in that? I have often thought about Agile Congress.
Coming back on the job, it's just... it's funny that you could have seen the evolution from XP, for example.
Uh-huh.
The Scrum Master was called the XP Coach.
Yeah, XP Coach.
So it started to be used from that point
mm-hmm.
in that field,
mm-hmm.
but with no real meanings, and it was carry on with
the
Scrum Master.
Well, the meaning was really specific.
Yeah.
And it kind of embedded into that, but
yeah.
not really clear title.
Yeah. yeah.
And where we didn't have like really clear title, really clear training
right.
into that, but
right.
it started to appear in the job field,
mm-hmm.
and you started to see, oh, we're looking for an Agile coach, we're looking
mm-hmm.
for, and in the meantime, you had Agile coach and Agile evangelist. I don't know if you've seen that on the job ads or whatsoever.
I've never seen the evangelist.
Oh, yeah,
really?
So it's...
I thought they just happened, they just like appeared by magic
yes.
inside of organizations.
Yeah.
Because that scares me that there'd be this concept of evangelist.
It disappeared.
Right?
It disappeared.
Right.
It disappeared. It faded off.
Yeah.
But Agile Coach sticked to it.
And I think that original insight of the XP guys was they didn't know exactly what they were doing, but they intuited something that was really right, which
mm-hmm.
is that this is a different kind of role. It's not like a manager, but
mm-hmm.
it's also not just like another developer. That it's a different kind of a thing that
mm-hmm.
you're doing,
mm-hmm.
That you're trying to make other people better, you're
mm-hmm.
trying to make the team better. And that's what has,
yeah.
has, you know, I think manifested, you know, in the Agile coaching world, is that it's a very different kind of leadership that that you need to be an Agile coach. It's a more, again, it's a more mature form of leadership, just like Agile is a more mature form of, you know, organizing work and process. You know, Agile coaching is a more mature form of leadership. It's a less needing to tell people what to do. You can take your satisfaction not from being the smartest person, but from helping other people accomplish something.
Leadership has been around since the 70s.
Hadn't been practiced very much.
Right. Yeah. So is it things such as Agile that has sort of been uplifting a number of little minor groups out there, right?
One of our long-term goals is to connect Agile to the world of organization development, for instance, because people in OD, you know, would get servant leadership. They would have studied that. And Agile is like this very practical way to manifest the ideals of, you know, people, you know, in more progressive fields of human behavior and human ways of organizing and stuff.
Yeah, like OD. And like professional coaching. I did a session at a professional coaching conference about 2 years ago now. And I just did a real basic, like, here's what Agile is. And my partner was a design thinking guy. Here's what design thinking is. Here's how they could work together. And professional coaches went, oh, my God, where have you been all my life? Because professional coaches teach people professional coaching skills, but also leadership skills. And they try to have that impact in organizations. But unless there is a call to action that's painful for people or that's a huge opportunity for people that they could get, they won't practice those skills.
Well,
there has to be
just
a reason for it. Agile creates the reason.
In the coaching world, it's just an idealistic way of being, and Agile makes it extremely practical and like it gets stuff done.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful marriage, that kind of philosophy with that kind of practicality of Agile.
So is there a risk that people just pick up the practical elements and don't pick up the mindset as well?
Oh,
so
Lord, that's what we're seeing right now.
The opposite, though, because sometimes I could see that it scares people off just to have a professional coach in front of them. It's scary. It's just, I guess, it's psychology behind. There is all these words attached to it. And so they'd rather choose than picking something that embed both and try to help the whole system.
So we don't advocate that Agile coaches actually use professional coaching the majority of the time. We advocate that they actually start to develop their mindset or their leaderfulness to that same level that we see in the professional coaching world, where people are really of service to others and where they're able to manage their own judgments and their own triggers when how you get triggered by people. Yeah, I do. But they're able to work with that in a way that they can still be of service through that. So, like, that ability is there, but don't necessarily need to use professional coaching all the time. On the other hand, though, I think, wouldn't it be great if we have people who are already professional coaches come into the Agile world? Because they already got the hard side figured out.
The interesting thing is, and you're talking about organizational development, is in a lot of organizations you don't see organizational development coaches. My thought's always been is, how is Agile different? Because we've now made this role of Agile coaches, but most of us, at least us on this side of the table, we all came because we're in, as per your framework, an Agile lean practitioner. But the people who were interested in it and now have moved towards our 10,000 hours of practice in, knowing they're all is know about Agile and Lean, and now trying to bring back the coaching skills on top of it. Whereas where your background is the other way around, where you sort of come to it from the other angle. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts about why it's sort of been different in the Agile community as opposed to others?
I totally lost the thread.
My sentence went a long way.
But that's okay. Now we got the background.
It's very interesting.
Let me try to rephrase it.
Somebody go.
Hang on, we don't need to do that.
Okay.
Because rephrasing it's not going to help us. I can promise you. So, Craig, what's the question or the point?
So what is the difference between other forms of coaching that haven't been very prevalent in organizations, but Agile seems to be one of those things that organizations go, I need a coach.
Because it's a silver bullet?
I don't know.
I think Agile creates pain and opportunity.
Yeah, I think Agile is a really practical thing. It solves really practical problems that teams have, I mean, that organizations have, right? The chaos of software delivery is a disaster, or used to be, and it brings a certain level of predictability to that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the cost of that to organizations is it changes all the relationships at work. It changes the power structure. It threatens management. It threatens many things. It threatens a developer's ability to protect themselves and hide out in their cube and not be seen by anybody. You know, it brings them to the edge of being a human, and it brings management to the edge of growing, you know, to the next stage of leadership. And so it forces you to have something like a coach to help, you know, juggle that whole thing and kind of facilitate.
So before, executive people used to have personal coaches.
They still do.
It's just to help them. Would you say that right now the entire management layer needs to be coached on their anxiety?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, there is a reason why Scrum is an acronym of Scrum can really upset managers. For those listening, really, it's not an acronym, but
it's not.
It works.
I made that up about a year and a half ago.
That's
a while ago.
I love that. That's great. Well, it's so no wonder, right? Because managers, because of the way business is working in the world right now, they're still stuck in this world of trying to pin things down. Trying to have some control over things, which we all know is a total, an empty promise. It's not true.
But in fairness, that's all they've ever been taught.
Reinforced over decades. The existing organizational structures and the way managers are trained and the way we talk is hierarchical and bureaucratic and whatever. I mean that there's all kinds of baggage there and just things embedded in our psyches of how we think about like we can't draw an organization chart. We're struggling with this ourselves. Drawing who's responsible for what and who's the team related to it, and you can't draw it very easily without making it boxes on top of each other. It's hard to convey.
So no wonder that was the easiest way to go, right?
It's almost like the metaphor, trying to get someone to change their diet.
Yeah.
But one thing that's
actually quite similar.
Yeah, but one thing that we talked about is like reducing managers' anxiety and coaching that just to be much more comfortable with uncertainty that Agile brings, because it makes the team like more efficient, more productive. Mm-hmm. But the style of Agile coaching and especially yours, it has much more focus on the team. Than individuals, than actually the management layers.
Oh, right.
And that's it's where it starts to be really interesting.
It's just that we didn't talk about it in the 2-day class you took. but we have a lot of focus on management layers and on up through the organization, which is why Michael's writing the Coaching the Agile Enterprise book.
Yeah, because for a team coach, the
hey, when it's there, it's there. Yeah. What can I tell you?
When's that going to be out again, Michael?
Some day before I die, I'm really hopeful.
Actually,
she's gonna kill me. There's an excerpt about 70 pages coming out at the end of this month, at the end of December 2013. It'll be on our website.
Yeah, I think you said before Christmas. I think Lisa thought it was before Christmas. Said no, before the end of the month. I've got another week.
Before the new year.
Yeah.
We get the trailer.
Yeah,
we get the trailer. That's right.
Yeah, it's a pretty darn thick, substantial trailer. It's the fundamental framework that helps. You know, a lot of what we're talking about, it helps to understand the different perspectives that people have. From a subjective point of view, from an objective point of view, the different levels of people developing, you know, from less complex to more complex, internally and also externally in terms of our processes and the way organizations are structured. Mm-hmm. So it gives a framework or a map to having that conversation in a different kind of way. Like the coaching framework helps coaches talk, you know, in a way about what skills they need. This will allow people to talk on an enterprise organizational level, from the team level up to the organizational level, about what's going on.
So who's the audience for that? Is it agile coaches, or, you know, I mean, am I going to put that in front of my manager?
Senior managers, COOs?
Yeah, all of those things. I mean, transformative-oriented coaches.
Okay.
Not as much team coaches, though it'll be of interest to team coaches, but really for people that are aspiring to do enterprise coaching and to lead, you know, agile champions, executive management that wants to do that, how to think about the transformation problem, because it's a lot bigger than, you know, anybody has. Everybody senses it, like, you know, the six men and the elephant, but nobody, from my point of view, has wrapped their minds completely around it, because it's so big and it's so, you know, multifaceted.
It's very contextual.
It's very contextual,
and everyone wants to be different in every enterprise. They want to feel different, they want to be different, and they want to isolate themselves from any particular case. So it would make sense just to have a map in relation to that, that they wouldn't associate themselves to.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble understanding the difference here, I think, contextually, between what is an agile coach versus what is an enterprise agile coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you able to, to clarify?
Like,
sure.
I'm pretty clear about that when we develop people, and I'm pretty clear that most of the people we're developing are not enterprise agile coaches right now. They're not at that level.
Yep.
They want to, because they feel those problems and they're impinged
and they get thrown into those problems.
Are we talking about someone that's looking across many teams, many departments, finding systemic issues and trying to tackle those? Is that the sort of person that we're
talking
about?
That's a piece of it.
Yeah.
It's a piece of it.
And somebody that can actually coach the CIO.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's respected,
so,
and can
coaching.
Go toe-to-toe with the CIO and call him or her on their stuff.
Right.
But
yep.
Would you say that CIO are actually accepting to be coached by agile coaches?
Not by most, because most agile coaches don't have the presence to do it. It takes a tremendous amount of
I mean, on the paper, if you propose that to CIO, for example.
I wouldn't necessarily propose that to a CIO. I propose that I'm an agile coach and here are all the skills I'm using. One is professional coaching, another one is teaching, another one is facilitating. I'm bringing all those things. So that when I'm in a conversation with a CIO, and what's called for is professional coaching, I can move into that realm. And with a CIO, you better believe I'm going to have an agreement with them that it's okay for us to have this conversation before we start it.
Yep.
Right. So because I really respect that person and respect the fact that, you know, a coaching conversation is about them. It's not about, you know, all this other stuff out here. It's about pressures they're under.
So how a CIO who might already have a personal coach, maybe not all of them, but some of them, would switch from a, you know what I mean? Would accept the transition.
They would already be in the organization. Someone's already signed off to get the coach in there. I think the real deal of this is if we can start to, I mean, your journey has been getting team coaches to work effectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Now, if we can start to upskill those people
idea.
To make
right.
transformations in organizations.
Right. Yeah.
So you've got to get in the door somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, to your point, you have to build. That's why we focused on building, you know, not what we consider a lot more advanced things like systems coaching skills, but basic things like facilitation skills, because until we have team coaches that can really facilitate in a neutral, collaborative way and have some sense of using a little bit of professional coaching skill, just being able to listen, being able to ask really good questions, until we have that kind of a basis, you know, we're leaving money on the table. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing in enterprise agility is teams. If you had really great teams, you know, who cares what management thinks, frankly? Who cares if they let you do stuff?
It's a force of nature. The management would not say, no, don't do it.
Mm.
Management would say, yeah, give me more of that.
Mm. Yeah.
If it works.
Right.
Yeah, if the team is a real team, they'd get out of the way. They do get out of the way. I see it.
Do we have to do some more education, though? Like, thinking about the enterprise coaching. I see a lot of people think about, I need a coach because I need to get agile working in a team, or, or I'm doing an agile transformation. But really, the type of stuff that you guys are talking about are things that are pervasive through an organization over the longer term.
And so I often think of an enterprise agile coach coming in from the side almost, right? They wouldn't necessarily be working at the team and multi-program level. They could. They could go and, you know, work at that level anytime they need to. But they're really working with the executive team and really working with questions like, okay, executive team, here's the deal. I mean, you're in a world where change happens all the time, where we're connected 24/7 all around the globe. What you learned in your MBA doesn't work anymore.
Mm.
Right? So... Mm.
It's hard to swallow.
It's hard to swallow.
But
yeah.
That, looping back to where we started this conversation, you don't go in and convince somebody of that.
No.
You work with somebody who's ready.
They're already in pain.
And actually, the first skill of a coach is to select, to filter, not select, but actually filter who is willing to listen.
Well, who's willing to be coached, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah.
And the deal is that the people in who are leading organizations where Agile has come in, they're in pain. They're already in pain because they know that the game they're playing doesn't work anymore, but they don't know what's going to be better. And meanwhile, all these pressures from the outside are coming in, the fact that we're so much more connected with our customers now. And 10 years ago, people couldn't complain on Twitter about your product.
Mm.
And they didn't expect you to respond immediately with a return tweet. I mean, so think about how that creates so much pressure and pain for these folks. So they're ready to go, but they need people who have skills to be able to stand beside them to help them go.
Yeah.
So an enterprise agile coach would help with that whole frozen middle layer of management and trying to thaw that out and change that?
But probably not directly because the middle managers are responding to their environment.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah, big time.
Right? So whatever their environment is what they're going to do, because that's their job. Their job is to keep things going, right? So I think that by an enterprise agile coach working more at the executive level to help the executives understand their own corporate culture, and is Agile a match or a mismatch for that, and what are we going to do about it? For them to understand their own leadership development, are they actually Agile leaders? If not, do they want to be? I mean, these are all questions for executive teams.
The most successful transformation that I led started with a team of vice presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first Agile team in the organization, was a team of vice presidents that I was the scrum master for, essentially. And they worked on enterprise transformation issues. They started with what was going to be the disruption to jobs and to, you know, people's pay and, you know, skill sets and, you know, facilities and all those kind of issues right from the beginning. So if you can start there, then things will go better. You know.
Which is interesting, is you refer to yourself as a scrum master, but really, in essence, has nothing to do with what people actually relate scrum to being. Right? Because it's even though it's software downstream, there's nothing software directly about that team, yet they still need that assistance to be able to work through the problems.
Well, we had stories, we had transformation-oriented stories, and we ran like a scrum team.
How long were your sprints?
A week long.
Okay.
So short, went on for, you know, probably 5 or 6 months.
So the other thing that you guys have been involved with is the IC Agile coaching which I think is a really important step in putting something out there for coaches to follow. To tell us a little bit about how that's been going.
The biggest thing why I think it's important is because it's generic, it's not specific to any methodology, and because it's open source. So it's not hidden or proprietary what the criteria are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, we're not involved in it to sell certifications. We don't care if people do certifications. We care that they have a transparent learning path. So this gives a transparent learning path. If people want to get a certification, they can. If they want to study the whole thing, path themselves, they can.
Mm-hmm.
And grade themselves or, you know, assess themselves. That's just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives definition to what does it mean to be a coach.
Yeah, and it also helps people with stepping stones. You know, like one of the biggest problems has been you get your certified Scrum Master class and you get that title or something else like that, and then you're like, oh crap, now what? You know, and the situations you're in are really hard, but there's nothing to guide you and say, okay, at this level you should know X, Y, and Z and be able to do B these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it does. It provides those learning objectives at those three levels of Agile team facilitator, that's like an iteration manager or scrum master, at Agile coach level, like program layer level, and enterprise Agile coach level.
The interesting thing is, and for those who haven't seen your framework, it's a bit like, well, I originally saw it as a wagon wheel, and I keep referring to it as that, but it's it's sort of that type of...
Referring to what?
A wagon wheel.
Spokes.
With eight spokes,
Not the chocolate.
Which, I don't even know about that. I'm learning about all kinds of good chocolate here. Yeah.
Well, it's like two biscuits with jam and marshmallow in the middle and then chocolate on the outside.
Oh, my.
Jiminy Christmas.
So is that like a, in America, what do they call
like
it?
A moon pie?
It's like a s'more.
It's like a s'more?
Yeah, I think. That's.
I don't know.
I don't understand
s'mores. So what's the s'more of Agile coaching wheel that you were...
That you were attempting to bite into.
Well, actually, that's a good analogy, right? The bite out of the chunk is that Lean Agile Practitioner is Agile Fundamentals.
Yeah,
and then
right.
there's the Agile Facilitation part of the accreditation, which takes you around the right-hand side of the wheel down to coaching. Where's the left-hand side of the wheel? On the left-hand side, for those who haven't seen it, is the training.
Teaching and mentoring.
Yeah. So is that are we assuming that coaching and facilitation are more Agile related than the others? Or
no,
is it just
it's just what was underrepresented in our world. So, you know, most people are fairly good at conveying information and teaching. Mm. You know, they might not be great. They might not know a lot of adult learning theory or whatever. But they're, you know, passable at that. Most people are passable at sitting down and mentoring someone in something they know. So that side was kind of handled. Now, people can get a lot better at those two things, but it's not where the biggest pain was. So we went to where the biggest pain was first, which is that people don't have facilitation or professional coaching skills, and they're trying to help people change by teaching louder. Mm. And that all that does is, what's the joke about the pig?
Yeah, it frustrates.
No, if teaching a pig to sing.
Yeah, teaching a pig to sing. It'll frustrate you and annoy the pig.
Yeah.
So don't do it.
I don't know if that was the pig.
It wasn't delivered again very well, but it is funny.
If anybody knows a pig joke, you can get us at theagilerevolution.com.
There's also a pig with lipstick joke, which somehow I thought was related.
Oh, yeah, don't put pig on a lipstick. Yeah, don't put lipstick on a pig. Yeah, don't put pig on a lipstick. Sure.
I don't know.
What was the question again?
We were just talking about why we ended up going to the right side, to the professional coaching and facilitation.
It's just interesting. I can
understand
why.
It's just what was needed
yeah.
most. That's all.
Would you say that?
I mean, eventually we might have... other stuff.
Yeah,
we could
teach a course in teaching.
Actually, we've thought about that because you guys have seen the class. I mean, it's a transformational education platform the class is built on. That's technology that exists in the world, but that most Agilists don't know about. We could certainly do that.
We didn't make it up. We learned it from professional coach training.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But, you know, that's not our biggest problem in the Agile world right now.
Mm. So what was the... you guys are obviously heavily involved with the IC Agile curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Did someone just say, here's a blank piece of paper, knock yourself out, or was there some direction?
Pretty much blank piece of paper.
Okay.
I mean, what happened was they pulled together who they thought were the thought leaders in the Agile coaching space and asked several people, and not everyone said yes, and we said yes, and... so we started working, and then we would send our stuff out to review to a broader audience, and iterating on it.
That's one of the nice things I think about IC Agile is that I had a little bit to do with the business analysis. Not in any great deal, but just seeing that people who are respected in the community actually brought it together, and it's exactly the same with the coaching one. The people that really know about it are the ones that have.
Yeah, and we had a wider review group that reviewed. What we did, and it's evolving, it's continuing to go on. We're moving to the enterprise coach level, which is really big. Yeah. We're also, the other thing I want to say about it is, we're not, locked into just IC Agile. We want to create a common framework.
Yeah.
We want to create a common framework.
We often say we sleep with everyone.
Lisa says that. I
say that. I sleep with everyone. There you go.
We want to develop Agile coaching as more like a profession, and so we want everybody. We want the Scrum Alliance to adopt the IC Agile learning objectives. We're not biased.
So you've got the one coaching the oath of non-allegiance.
Yeah, kind of.
So what's
the allegiance is to the learning path, not to specific organization.
The Scrum Alliance has a certified Scrum coach.
Yeah, which I am one of them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, why is there two terminologies?
Well, the IC Agile terminology is wanting is especially trying to be neutral.
Okay.
And not about Scrum or XP or Kanban or anything like that, just about Agile in general. The Scrum Alliance clearly has an allegiance to growing their brand.
You would expect them to.
Yeah, you'd expect them to use their own language, right? It's the Scrum Alliance. That's why it's certified Scrum Coach. But what I love about what happened for the Enterprise Agile Coaching Track is that Michael and I and a woman named Marcia Acker and Ahmed Sidki, the original four, we were joined by Pete Behrens. And Pete was one of the initial creators of the Certified Scrum Coach designation and the criteria for that. So we had all the benefit of everything he had thought about and his small group had thought about when they created that. And we're still working on the IC Agile Enterprise Agile Coach learning objectives, but he's been with that since the beginning.
And is there a massive difference between the two? I haven't really looked at the Certified Scrum Coach type thing, but is there any fundamental things missing from there that are in the
IC?
Well, as we create the Enterprise Agile Coach definition, we keep looking at each other and keep going, yeah, I'm not even really sure where this.
Mm.
I mean, it's actually that large. When we think about what it's going to take or what it does take to really transform an organization, it's a tremendously vast array of
skills
and leaderfulness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we look at what the CSC currently is, and what's being created on the IC Agile side is a little bit bigger than that even.
Mm.
But the cool thing is that it will be open, so it won't be any surprise or mystery about what a group of people thinks it takes to be an Enterprise Agile coach. Whereas the CSC process, it's the best thing we had at the time. I think the IC Agile definition is going to, that working group definition is going to supersede it. But the CSC criteria is actually very opaque. It's really hard for an applicant to know what the committee, the reviewing committee is looking for. Really, really hard. And I think that's just because the Scrum Alliance didn't have the stepping stones that people needed. And now I think this learning path provides that for not only the Scrum Alliance, but for everyone.
Do we run a risk, though, at an enterprise level? I mean, come back to you, Michael, you've how many years have you gone through and all your organizational change and both of you, if you're professional coaching, if we start rolling out just an IC Agile accreditation without some real assessment or something like that, it's like any certification at the end. I mean, people can read the book and get through it. How are we actually really going to tell that people are going to make change at an organizational level?
Well, two things. I mean, they won't get through the IC Agile learning path and be accredited without, by just reading a book.
Mm-hmm. Or just going to classes.
It'll be a significant...
There's
a level called IC Agile Expert where you have to prove competence to get it.
Okay.
At a practical...
Yeah, I mean, way. So we're involved in that process right now, trying to figure out that process. But some of the things the early people have had to do is, send us a video of you facilitating your team. Get on the phone with us and live coach one of us using professional coaching skills. Let's go, buddy. Show us that you know how to do this.
This is at the team coaching level now because enterprise level is not defined yet.
Yeah, and so there would be an IC Agile expert at the enterprise level too, which would have its own set of proof and criteria. And, that's probably at least a year and a half away before anyone needs to define that. But
excellent. Yeah.
So that's one side of it. The other side of it is even if somebody is not trying to, be accredited to be one or something like that, certified, just the transparency of the skill set that's needed will allow people to partner strategically with, like you might...
To fill the gaps.
Yeah, exactly.
To fill the gaps,
you might partner with an OD, an organization development practitioner, to do a lot of this stuff if you were an agile coach, especially if you were a technically oriented coach. You'd need somebody with an OD kind of a skill set to be able to, pull off a transformation.
I mean, you know, it's the leaders in the Agile community are famous for not being successful at pulling off enterprise transformations.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And that's really clear in your wagon yeah. wheel, right. in your biscuit, yeah. in your right. Tim Tam. Yeah. is it those? And I think that was the aha moment talking to people after your course. The aha moment of people going, yeah, actually, I'm trying to be all these things. I'm trying to be a technical person and a business master
yeah.
person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the real a lot of the aha from people who sit through your courses and.
Yeah, we talk to people who, for example, might have signed something like, oh, I don't know, the Agile Manifesto. When we talk to them, they're like, oh, no wonder we haven't transformed the world of work yet. You know, here I am trying to, you know, keep grinding the gears from my skill set of teaching and mentoring and telling people how it's supposed to go.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of acknowledgement of the additional skill sets that are needed for that kind of change.
Hmm. So what's going down the path for you guys? You know, if we look into 2014, is it? I mean, obviously there's still a whole lot of coaches that need assistance.
Yeah, but part of it is you know, launching my book and this platform and then developing curriculum around that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is
your book. Yeah.
Don't forget
my book. What's the name of it?
Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to make any money. Okay, you're going to go out and get my book for free. Let's just be really clear right now. There's no dollars to be made in this, Australian or otherwise. But we're going to be moving, in addition, into the coaching space, into the leadership and management space,
mm-hmm.
because again, this is a pull. It's not us pushing.
Yeah.
But when we go and teach, particularly in private clients, when we teach
large
their coaches, they say, can you do this with our managers?
Can you help our managers?
Agile management is mm-hmm. the next big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
For me, it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about it that doesn't fit.
And just the two words. I don't know about you, but agile management.
Mm.
What do you want to manage?
Well, that's not necessarily that you're going to manage people, but that's the term that's commercially going to be acceptable to get people.
See, and that's what I was talking
like
about before, the language.
Manager.
Yeah,
right. That's the language that we have from, you know, structures that, you know, have existed for hundreds of years, and it's going to be really hard to change those
like
terms
overnight.
Completely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry to throw something else on the table, but. But it sparked something for me. The word agile is deeply suffering now from a big stereotype. And
from being overloaded, you mean?
Yeah, overloaded, overused, abused, or whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you scared that there is so many connotation, there is so many like big A, small A, or whatsoever, but it's much more agile coach. When you get the two words associated, some people like, ooh, it's really scary. I know I've heard about Agile, I've heard about coaches, and the two associated together, it's like, whoa, it's a bit too much for me. How would you say that? No, it's true.
So
I came across
my question was to the first
one. That moment where we're like, what the hell is he talking about? So I get the terrain, I get the general area you're in. So is there a question in here? Or
there is
a
question.
ask an 8-word or less question, Wayne.
Okay. Sorry, Craig, which one it says. So basically, with this whole movement about naming agile mm-hmm. this, agile this, agile mm-hmm. this, how would you pull out something that is clearly different and that will help people just to move along?
Isn't it just about working smarter though?
You know what, here's the deal. I'm going to ride any wave that comes. So right now the wave is agile. And agile to me is full of integrity. I can practice it and feel like I'm in my integrity as a human being.
Okay.
So great. If we screw it up, then we're going to screw it up. And 10 years from now, we're going to invent something that looks miraculously like this. And we're going to call it a different name. And I'll ride that wave.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen at the kind of the huge macro level with this. I just know right now, Agile's not going away.
And people are crying for help.
Yeah, people are crying for help, and they're turning to Agile. And I think that while it's not practiced great in most places, it's practiced reasonably well in the vast majority of places we go to. That it is helping people, and they are moving forward with it. Now, they're not moving as forward as fast or as beautifully as I'd like, but it's still like light years ahead of where we've been.
But that comes back to why we need exactly what you guys are teaching, is otherwise there'd be no need for Agile coaches. Everybody just sort of picked up the manual, read the manifesto, and went,
if they just immediately shifted to a totally different human being in the same body, you wouldn't need Agile coaches, but that it doesn't happen that fast.
Cool. Well, if people want to know more about what you guys, I mean, Jeremy and I have just sat through, from my perspective, two of the most awesome days of just mind-bending, rethinking, being able to sit there as an Agile coach. But if people want to know more about what you guys do, where can they find them?
How can they get them?
Yeah, just agilecoachinginstitute.com.
And, of course, the book, Coaching Agile Teams, which is still, top 10 material after all these years?
Every once in a while, you check it on Amazon, it's not in the top 10, but most of the time it is.
It's clearly a backbone, yeah.
Yeah, it's really struck a chord.
Contact via email or Twitter?
Sure. Twitter is Lisa Adkins, but I have the funky spelling, so here it comes. LYSSAADKINS.
And MSPAYD is my Twitter handle.
Yeah. And there's some sort of book coming out.
We've heard tell.
There's a rumor about that. I'm sure it's just a rumor.
And of course,
Craig and myself are volunteering to be reviewers, by the way.
I've already hit Michael up on bus rides, all sorts of things about that. And all the stuff like we were talking about the framework. People haven't seen that. That's all available from your website.
Yeah, it is. If you go to agilecoachinginstitute.com, right on the right hand side is a little button that says resources. Click that, and you're going to see this framework, and it's going to have like starter resources. If you want to learn about one part of the framework or the other, and lots of stuff on there.
And the videos. The Coach Competency Framework is Creative Commons licensing, because we want people to be able to use it and adapt it. We don't want it to be proprietary.
Yeah.
We want it to be a resource to the coaching community.
That's a very good point,
No, we thank you for that. And I guess it's been a pleasure having you here in the country. Thank you for making the trip out and
great to talk to you.
Raising the coaches that came, I know that, as a community, we can only go onward and upward.
Yeah, we had a good time with them.
Yeah. Remember, it only takes 10% of a community to help the whole community shift. So we found a good community of Agile coaches here in Australia, and I believe they'll help everyone shift.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you for getting us.